Now Ken wants to hear the story. Ken, are you here? Yeah, you're here. You know, this picture, photo that you see here seems to be the only one of its kind. You see it on the jackets of the books that are printed sometimes. Or somewhere. And once one leper is being tended by Baba. And it is surprising. So often people come and ask, Baba used to work with the lepers, and we have only this picture that comes up every now and then. Is Baba worked only with one leper, or were there quite a few of them? I said, no, there were quite a few of them, hundreds of them. But why is this picture? I said, it has a story behind it. What is the story? So the story is this, that you see Baba bathing the leper here. That's all. The story is simple, that Baba is attending to a leper. But behind it, there are many things. What has happened is, that behind Baba you see an old man there standing. Can you see that? His name is Gadgya Maharaj. See, he has a peculiar cap on his head. It's not a cap. It's an earthenware pot, you know. The bottom of the water chetty. Broken water chetty. He is there. And he is very well renowned here in this country. He is a great saint of our country. He is known as Gadgya Maharaj because of the Gadga. Gadga is a term, Indian term, for the bottom of an earthenware pot. So that is his begging bowl, that is his shade from the sun, that is his drinking cup, and everything is in that. That's all. He is very famous. Of course, he has died long back. His life story is filmed. It's on the screen also. People see it. We used to hear of him. Never was there any confrontation with him. Baba had been all over the country, and Baba didn't contact him or anything sort. Once there was a contact like that, while we were traveling in a train, we were in a carriage, and in the carriage adjoining to our carriage, there were passengers, and to our utter surprise, what we see is, by the side of our carriage window, Baba is seated there, he is leaning outside and trying to peep inside, and we recognized him, that he is Gadgya Maharaj. So we told Baba that he is trying to see here, peep inside. So Baba just nodded his head. God Speaks in the Meantime was written, dictated by Baba. And there, he is describing what a real saint means. And he gives an example, that saint is he who sees me as I really am. Is one who is on the sixth plane of involution of consciousness, who can see me as I really am. And then he says, you have heard of Gadgya Maharaj? He is that. He is the real saint. So that's how these passing references were there. Nothing mentioned more about it, nothing of the sort. I had heard so often from my uncle, maternal uncle, who is here in Nagar, because Gadgya Maharaj would come to my uncle's place, and he was famous for keeping the place clean wherever he would go. He would be followed by his followers, and they didn't carry any flags or anything of sort. Their symbol was a broom. They would have some brooms, and wherever they would go, they would sweep the place clean. And naturally, people would give them food or something like that. So he was a great chum of my uncle, because my uncle was a social worker and he used to do this sort of service, so they could get together very easily. So that's how my uncle would come and tell Baba, because he is still alive. He's 91, my uncle.
Is 91
Mama? Yeah, that's not Mama. So he'd come to Baba and says, Baba, Gadgya Maharaj had come to our place. Baba would say, what happened now? So he did the rest, and Baba would would enjoy the talk. He would laugh. He says, really, he is good. he is the real saint, and so forth. So my uncle would go and tell him that Baba remembered you, and you are very dear to him, you are one of his beloved children, that's what Baba would say about him, and so forth. So he would tell my uncle, says, yeah, he is that, no doubt, but do you know the difference between him and me? He is the brilliant sun, and I am like a little wick that is lighted in comparison. And such talks were there, would come to our ears and pass away and all. Nothing more than that. A day came, to cut the story short, all of a sudden, we see him here at this door, here. He was fumbling there, the door was not shut properly, it was just a little open there, so he just opened and he came and stood there and looked here and there, and his eyes fell on Baba there. So Baba expressed his love for him and said, come inside. So they both were in an embrace, and he embraced Baba, Baba embraced him and all that. And he knelt down, and then he says to Baba, put your hand on my head now. I cannot bear any longer. Bless me, so that the body drops. Baba says, what are you talking about? It's not the time now. You have got a lot of work to do and all that. I'm interpreting. So he's pleading before Baba, not to release him now. Release him. Release me, Baba. I can't bear the burden anymore. Baba says, no, there's still time. Okay. But Baba, you say, I have been hearing from other people that you have been speaking with such love for me, and you love me, isn't it? So please release me. Baba says, no, it's not the time. Time will come, then it will be all right. You go back and continue to do the work that you have been doing. You call me your beloved child, and this is how you treat me. I come begging at your door. Go. All right, then do one thing. My body cannot now bear the burden. Allow me to sit here at this door. I'll keep a watch at your door. I won't eat much. Not like these people who are here. He's pointing at us. I'll need only a quarter bread and a little vegetable, and that will be enough for me the whole day. So now, even this you refuse. And he would again taunt Baba and say, and you have been telling people that I am very dear to you, and this is how you refuse even this little plea. You have got work to do, still time, go. He says, all right now, the third request, if you don't accept this, then the last request is this. Baba says, you can ask me the last request, but don't ask me anything to break my silence. I won't do that. Remember that. No, it's not about the silence. So then say, what is it that you want? He says, it's time that you should come to our place now. Where? To the place, the Pandharpur. It's a famous place here, especially in Maharashtra. It is considered to be like your Vatican here. Place of great worship and, yeah, it's a sanctified place. And throughout the country it is known. People from all parts of the world come here on a pilgrimage. All parts of the country, they come here on a pilgrimage. Even those Indians who live outside the country, when they visit India, they pay visit to this place called Pandharpur. Why is it so sanctified? Let's go back to some centuries ago of this. How did it come into force that this has become a sanctified place? What does it mean? What is there in that? Is there a temple? Yeah, it is a temple. The whole township is a temple. How did it come about? What had happened is that some centuries ago, it is said so, and people believe, and people take it not for granted, but it's a thing that has happened. So there was a family living there. And the family comprised of just old father, old mother, and a very healthy son. He would work the whole day and come back in the afternoon also to see the parents. They were very old and disabled. So he would serve them, see to their comfort, again go back on work, again come back and be there. He used to live with them. So he would come and go, but he served his parents with such love and such devotion that it is said that the Lord himself fell in love with the service of the son. So while one day he was serving his, massaging the body of his father in the afternoon when he had come, so there he was, and father was having his siesta, he was sleeping. So Lord manifested there, Lord Krishna, mind you, manifested there. So he tells him to keep quiet. Shh. Don't disturb now. I'm happy that you are here, but you keep at a distance. Go and be there till I see that my father is now resting properly. So in obedience to the love of his lover, Lord Krishna stood in a corner of his little hut. And what was there? Where did he stand? There was a heap of old bricks, which are known in the vernacular language here in this part of area as wheat. Wheat means brick. So he stood over there. And here this fellow is doing that. His name was Pundlik, the boy's name, son's name was. So he felt that his father now is totally rested now. He's resting and he has gone to deep sleep. So he turns there. And to his surprise, there is nothing but a small statuette of Lord Krishna standing there. He has the remorse. Now it dawns upon him what he has done. That he had discarded the Lord in favor of his old father. So he is very remorseful. He tells the story to the villagers and all that. They come. It was a village at that time. Now it's a big town. That's what it is. And it is said that the villagers were surprised, they heard all this, and they felt great joy that there is a manifestation here, this happened, and the statuette is there. So they built a little niche over it. In their own poor, humble way, they built something. As days passed by, some rich person came, and his wishes may have been fulfilled, who knows. As the ways of the world are, they built a bigger niche, bigger chapel-like thing. Somebody came and built a bigger one there. Like that it goes on, expanding. So, apart from this, we also hear of stories that this Vithoba, who is now known as Vithoba, the Lord who stood on the brick, pile of bricks, well, he is not just an image of stone or anything. He is live. He is vibrant. So, there are these... At that sanctified place, they have now created a temple, a nice altar and all that, and proper statues have been built of Rukmini, the consort of Vithoba, and Vithoba himself is there and all that. And people come there. With the passage of time, the saints come there and adore the statue of Vithoba, and they sing songs and all that. There's another little story about it, with the passage of time, when this temple was established there. There was another family that lived. And in the family, husband and wife are there. There's a son, growing son. So Indian custom is that every time food is cooked at home, it is first offered to the deity, the Lord, and then partaken by the family. That is the traditional way. Now, of course, it's all forgotten. But that was everywhere, in all houses. First to the Lord, the giver of bounties, then you can have it. First offer it. Whether he eats it or not, it's his lookout. But our duty is to offer him. So that's how the food would be offered. Now what happened is that this family, husband and wife, and that little baby son, They're having good family life and all that. They're happy and all that. The son is growing older and he's about 7 years of age. And every time the father goes carrying the food there to the temple to offer to Vithoba, the son also runs by his side and they're from close distance. He goes there. And while he's in the temple offering the food, he runs about, plays about and all that. But he's aware that this is the time now, food is cooked, we have to go there and offer him. Now he's of about 7 years of age and the father expresses to his wife saying that, look, for the first time I have to leave this town, I have to go out because on an urgent work. Now who will manage to take the food there to the Lord for offering? Our son is now old enough, he can carry it safely. So mother is very apprehensive about it. What about the other boys on the roadside? They might disturb him, they might play mischief and all that. No, he's old enough now, he knows, he calls him. His name was Namdev. Will you be able to do it? Will you carry it properly and offer to the Lord? He said, yes. You have seen what we do? He says, yeah. So his father has left the town. The mother has cooked the food in the morning. He is properly tutored as to how to take it, put it on the altar, which is high enough, higher than his own height. He has to just crane himself and put it properly and offer it there. Be careful that no boys play mischief. Don't let your friends do anything about it and all that. So she said, yes, mother. So he goes and he offers it. So while the food is being offered, he removes the cloth that is there on the top of it and offers the Lord, and he waits like his father would wait for some time. He didn't know the prayers or anything so on, but he knew that the food that is offered has to be partaken by the Lord naturally. That's what the impressions were there. And in his innocence he's waiting and waiting. 10 minutes, 15 minutes pass by and nothing seems to happen. So he is now a bit worried about it. What my mother will be saying, nothing seems to happen. Because my father is not here, it seems that he is not taking care or paying heed to my call. He goes on imploring the Lord, please take it as usual. It's food that is sent to be offered to you. Have it, take it. Nothing seems to happen. He gets very irritated, the youngster. And says, now this is the last time I implore you. If you don't do that, there's a staff nearby. I will have to thrash you out. So he goes for the post. There was a little pole there. So he goes to pick that up to give him a beating or something like that. So just then the hands come and start eating. And he notices that and he's happy. Well, threat has proved to be successful. So he's all right. But now, to his utter dismay, what happens is he's eating the whole thing up. So he said, no, not all, because my mother would want something back. So, bus, enough of it. So of course, it's enough. So automatically the hands are no more there. And the child is happy, covers the tray and goes back home. Mother gives her word to him. He says, we depended on you, and this is what I expected, that you will be sharing this food with your friends there on the street. This is what you are supposed to do. I told you to go and offer it to the Lord, and this is what you've done. Is this the way that you would take it? It's such a sanctified place there, and you play fool like that. And she started berating him, even thrashed him, and he is swearing. He says, mother, I tell you, honestly, I tell you, the Lord himself ate it. So Lord ate it? How is it possible? And so forth. And he is surprised to hear these words from his mother. How is it possible? Why is it not possible? It is meant for the Lord, and if he eats, so why is it not possible? He cannot reconcile these things. But somehow or other, he got a beating from the mother. He is scolded by the mother, and so forth. Next day, the father comes, and the complaint is there. Father hears it, gives another good beating. I had relied on you, you are my only son, and I thought that you'd do everything in my absence, and this is how you did it. He says, but father, I did it because you did it all the time, and doesn't the Lord eat anything? And he ate it, but he overate it and I had to stop him. I said, no. I said, are you he ate it. You were in the temple and he ate it. Yeah, he ate it. So the father says, maybe, who knows? The innocence of the child is there, the love is there. All right then, come on, come with me and show me how he eats now. So there he goes, again the next morning the food is there, so they both go and nothing seems to happen. So the child implores and begs and cries, now again another beating is waiting for me now. If you don't eat it, what will they think? They will not believe, they think that my friends have eaten. So the father just gets aside, away from the scene, and the child implores and again the hands appear and starts eating. The father comes rushing. He is seeing from a distance, from a chink. And he comes and falls prostrate at the feet of the son. He says, because of my blessed son, I got the darshan of the manifestation of the Lord today. My life is spent in bringing the food every day, but nothing seemed to happen. But your innocence and your love for devotion has made this possible. I am blessed, the family is blessed. So such are the little stories connected with this particular stone, which is nothing but a replica of the manifestation of the Lord at the time of Pundalik, when he ordered the Lord to stand there. You follow, the whole thing is built around that tradition. Now, coming back to our Gadgya Maharaj, and Gadgya Maharaj has said to Baba that, Baba, you should come to this place. Now, this is the place, which is considered to be a great place of pilgrimage. And that was his, you may call it, headquarters, Gadgya Maharaj. He would be there constantly. Now, going back a little, Gadgya Maharaj, when he came first to this place, he was there, he used to come and go and all that. But he being what he is, he would exhort the priests over there, he would exhort the people who would come on pilgrimage there. People would go there, you know. From long distance, they would walk the distance and be there to pay homage to that statue and all that. And he would exhort them and says, what are you all doing? Coming over here to do what? To worship the stone image? No, you should worship, your worship should be such to him. Your worship will be accepted not by your offerings of fruits, flowers or fowls or chicken or goats or this or that. It's not that. You have to offer yourself and all that. So in the beginning he had got great resistance, so much so that he was manhandled. He was thrown away, he was driven away from that place because he was working against the priesthood in trying to exhort the public as to how they should worship. The way of worship is quite different. Your love should be there. Your wholehearted sacrifice of your own self should be there and so forth and so on. So when it reached a certain limit, one day he declared to the public that if you were to worship him the way he should be worshipped, if you love the Lord the way he is to be loved, and if you mend your ways, I take an oath here that a day will come when I'll bring him in flesh and blood. So it's now left to you. So years are passing by. Gradually, people begin to get drawn to him, to his words of great import. They are, and he would go on lecturing them, telling them, singing devotional songs and all that. And it went on. Years are passing by. Till such time, he comes here and begs of Baba now to pay a visit there. And Baba said to him that, yeah, I will accept that. Here he said that, yes, this is acceptable to me. I'll come there. When do you want me? So he selected the day when that is such an auspicious day when people from all parts of this country usually throng there by millions. There is a river there, there's a river. The banks of the river, they stretch out far and wide, and people are there. They can be accommodated there. They have their bath in the river, they have the water there and all that is there. So Baba said, I will be there for one day with you. One full day, I will be at your disposal. All right? He says, yes, I am happy. Now go back happily. But before you go back, now that I have accepted your invitation, I'll be there at your disposal. Now in return, I want one thing from you. Says, what is it? Says, you know that I love my lepers very much. Says, yeah, I have been hearing that. Baba said then, after the whole day is over with you, I would like to be with the lepers. So, make provision for that. She says, there's no need to make provision. There's a whole leper colony over there. You can have as many lepers as you want. Yeah. Baba says, that's wonderful. That puts a seal that I have accepted. That's how the conversation is taking place here. Okay. So now, he left. Baba embraced him and all that. Now the day approaches. So we go from here in a car, and we are driven to that place. It's about, how many miles from here will it be? Pandharpur? You don't know, 110 miles or something like that. It is. Have you been to Pandharpur any time? No. No, you have not been. So, we have driven, we have taken Baba there, he's driven there. Gaudiya Maharaj is waiting, receives him right royally, with great love and devotion. And then, he is made to sit right in front of the temple on a chair. We have got pictures and all that. Then Gaudiya Maharaj gives a little talk to the public. There is a throng of people, you know. They are like, it's a sea of humanity, you may call it. Yeah. It's like a sea, you know, all the heads popping and all that sort of thing. And they, but his voice is heard, mind you, Gaudiya Maharaj's voice. He is very strict and a disciplinarian. He always would carry a stick, a staff, with forked staff. And he would permit anybody, people would want to bow down to him, he just put a stick like that, you see, and raise them up, like that. So that's how they knew it, that if they misbehaved, the staff would go and catch hold of the neck. So that's how they were. So they remain there, well disciplined, and then Baba is conducted to a hall. And the old man comes, that is Gaudiya Maharaj, and says, Baba, now you rest here. When the time comes, I will take you to the place. Baba thought that, well, he must have arranged some program. We also thought that way. That's how it was taken for granted. We had gone there in the morning, mind you. It doesn't take much time to go 100 or 110 miles. Hardly 3 hours. So we are there by about 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, so lunchtime comes, we are there. By the way, in the meantime, people had heard, group of Baba lovers had heard from Bombay, Pune and other places that Baba is going to Pandharpur. Oh, Baba is going to Pandharpur. So it would be nice if we go there. It's a place of pilgrimage. The Lord himself is coming. Good. And so there was a crowd of, amongst the crowd of the public, there is the crowd of Baba lovers. So they all throng around Baba and they are all taken to that hall. It's a big hall there. And Baba is there having a good time. They sing songs and this and that, bhajan and all that is going on. But time and again Baba says, what's the matter? He made me sit down here and has he forgotten that I've come here or anything? It's lunchtime now and who is going to give us lunch and what's going to happen and where is the program? Where are we to be taken? So we don't know. He's lost in the crowd. We don't know anything about. So lunch comes. We serve lunch to Baba. And those who had come with Baba, they are served also. The 4 or 5 were there. The rest of them find their ways. They have their lunch. There are many stalls and all that. Again they come. Again we have our sessions with Baba. It was a nice time with Baba. All the Baba lovers and Baba in that hall. Fun. Afternoon, no sign of that man. What has happened to him? Why did he call us? Baba would always say that. Why did he call us? Our day is being spent like that. Again, no sign. Tea comes for Baba. Baba is there. Says he is doing this. That is, he is mindful that we are here. But what is he trying to do? Why? He just wants me to be here or what? Baba is, as a human, as man amongst men, he just knows nothing. Always, that's his, one of his traits. He will not know anything. When you go to him, he says, Who are you? From where have you come? You came for me? Why did you come? Like that. Like a man would ask, somebody would ask some person. He would go to such an extent, just digressing a little bit, about his not knowing anything. Whereas he is the omniscient, mind you. So women will come, mothers would come and place babies, newborn babies on his lap. And Baba would play with the baby and this and that. And Baba would inquire. Although the baby is naked, almost naked. Baba would inquire, is it a baby girl or a baby boy? Baba would inquire like that. So his mother would say, no, it's the baby boy, Baba. You have blessed us with the first son. Oh, fine. Very good. So likewise, he would always be appear to us as if he knows nothing. He is ignorant about everything. So that day also, it was the height of ignorance. So what is this? Why has he made us stay here? Why did he bring us? Why did he invite us? That he doesn't even appear and all that. Night falls, just darkness now. Because there is no electricity, or at that time there was no electricity there. So what's the matter? I am here for the whole day. I told him for the whole day, 24 hours are there. He must have forgotten. Baba would say that. And we are again, people are there, and Baba people are there. Time is passing. We didn't sit idle. Time is passing very rapidly. All of a sudden at about 8:30 or 9 most probably, he comes. And Baba says, what's the matter? You brought me over here, you told me to come here. But Baba, the time has come now. Time has come for what? You come with me. So this is how we are being led through the sea of humanity. And how he leads us, you see, we are going from one, passing through people, men, women, children, and all this. And we are being led to a distant place, which is a raised thing. We see. That's what my eyes have seen. It must be as high as this, that raised. Some improvised, it was not a structure. It was
a dais.
It was like a
dais.
Not a dais, not a platform. Sand had been collected. Heap of sand. Yeah. They must have worked whole day. I don't know what must have. So there it is fully lighted. And lighted with what? With pressure lamps. You know those incandescent pressure lamps are there. Mm-hmm. The lamps are put there. So, that's the place Baba is being led to. That's what thoughts pass in my mind. We are going through that crowd. So he is leading Baba. He is holding Baba's hand and arm and leading him. And at last we are climbing that, you see. And we are up there. There is a little piece of cloth that is spread out. And very reverently he makes Baba sit there. And then all the people are all seated. I don't know how they were seated there. Why were they seated? Because they got attracted to the light, thinking that there is going to be a program. I know nothing about this. But that's what is my conjecture. Naturally, everywhere is darkness. There is nothing there. So people are seated. Why? Because there is some lights are put there, but nobody is there. So what is he trying to do now? There is some program there. So they are all facing towards that. It's all surrounded by humanity, mind you, that little hillock that has been created. So then Gargi Maharaj stands there and he puts up his hand as usual and then he starts his chant. Devaki Nandan Gopala, Devaki Nandan Gopala, and people respond to it with one voice. That is his usual way. Chant is nothing but remembering Lord Krishna as a baby, as a child, like that. His parents are remembered. And then he said to the public, today I am going to tell you all, give you all the history of how I came to this place and what's going to happen tonight. He tells now them loudly. There are no loudspeakers, mind you, but such silence is there prevailing that people can easily hear. And then he told them that how he came first here and how he was manhandled by people, how he wanted to tell them about the true worship to the Lord. But at that time, there was the offering of flowers, fruits. Apart from that, there were many people who started offering blood, cutting doves and goats and chicken and all that sort of thing as an offering. That's not the way to love the Lord or offer Him. Can't propitiate Him with these little offerings. What He needs is your own life. Your own self has to be there, and so on. But people took ill about it and drove me out. I came again, they drove me out again, then they manhandled me, they thrashed me and all that. Again I came, because I loved you all, I loved this place, it's a very sanctified place. So I had to take an oath one day in front of the masses and said that if you all were to love the Lord the way He should be loved, I swear in His name that I'll bring Him in flesh and blood here. And that night, that time has dawned. Here He is. I have brought Him here. And He turned to Baba and says, Baba, come on. Now come. And Baba was made to stand there. And all that. And then He said, hail Him as Mer Baba, Avtar Mer Baba. So then they hail Him there with one loud ring, you see. And Baba is just there. He's rotating, Baba. Because the sea of humanity is there, like that. It was a sight for the gods to witness. Yeah. And the night passes by, then of course the singing takes place and people are overjoyed and all that sort of thing. But the sight, that divinity, that height of glory of Baba was there at that night, which we had witnessed. Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
Huh?
Tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. And then what happened? Now coming back to the story of this picture. It's dawn now. Night passes by in singing and people giving talks on Baba and on what you call Krishna and all. Anybody who wants to give a talk, they would come up there and go. And Baba is seated there all the time. Then at dawn time He gives a clap and reminds the old man, he says, now I have fulfilled my promise. Now it's left to you to fulfill your promise. What about the lepers? He says, yes, Baba, we'll go now. And he takes down Baba from that hillock. We go back to the hall. Baba, have little tea and little breakfast there, and then we'll go. At about 7 o'clock or 7:30, we are being taken now. There's a whole colony, leper colony is there. So we go there. Gadgil Maharaj is seated by Baba's side in the front seat. The driver is there. Adi was driving. We are sitting in the rear. And we go. So Gadgil Maharaj gets down and goes to the colony there. The rooms are there. The building is there. He goes there and again he disappears. And we are waiting here and he is not to be seen. So Baba says, what's the matter with him? Why such a delay? He comes back empty-handed, dejected. He says, Baba, what can I do? The whole colony, this is the colony of lepers, but not a single leper is found. They are most probably at the banks of the river, waiting for the pilgrims to give them alms. They are all dispersed there. Swami says, not a single one is there. No. He says, let us go again, let us search. So Baba himself goes with Gadgil Maharaj. And there was one solitary leper who could not go. He was so, what do you call, disabled, and yeah, full of sores and all that. He could not move about or could not go, so we had to lift him out and bring him there. And that's where Baba tends him, bathes him, cleans his sores and all that, clothes him, and feeds him. So, because he was so disabled, the Lord Himself went in search for him and got him. So that's why this picture has a story.